This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is all right and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. We hope today.
We're back. We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Renee Kielhofer, and her title is Why Israel Matters.
So, continuing with our history lesson this morning, we've already talked about how Abraham had found favor early on with God, and he had been significantly blessed. We see that all through Genesis. He raised Isaac to follow the one true God, but Ishmael had an Egyptian mother because Hagar was Egyptian. And so Ishmael was raised by Hagar. I can't get my page turned. There we go. And he was raised to follow the false gods of Egypt. So there's a major conflict there from day one also. So the Bible goes on to tell the story of the Israelites and the favor of God always resting on them. From the line of Judah, one of Israel's sons, comes our Messiah, Jesus Christ. There's the promise, you know, coming into completion. So just as it was prophesied, the Israelites, the Jews, were scattered from their home. And then on May 14th, 1948, the land was given back to them. And they began to come home. Now, currently, and my statistics may be off a little bit, but I read that there are about 15 million Jews in the world, and about 7 million of them are in Israel, which means there's about 8 million of them scattered all around the world. And it's prophesied that before the end comes, they will all come home. And so it's possible that what we're seeing now is part of that prophecy being fulfilled, because the anti-Semitism may be the force that drives them back to the homeland, because we know that World War II and the Holocaust and the atrocities there are what drove a lot of Jewish people back to Israel in 1948. And so, you know, I don't know, but I'm just saying it's possible. It's one of those things to look for. A lot of people have speculated that maybe this is the beginning of the Ezekiel 38 war, 37, 38. And it's possible that this is laying the groundwork for it, but this is not that war. Because first of all the Jewish people are not there. And in that war, no one stands for Israel. And right now, America is still standing with Israel, and there are a few other countries who are as well. But in that war, the whole world will be against Israel, and no one will come to their aid but God. So it's possible that this is laying the groundwork for that war, but this is not quite that war yet. So the land of Israel has always belonged to the Jews. God gave it to them, and the rest of the Arab world was for the rest of the descendants of Abraham through Ishmael and his other sons. Now, Israel is the only country in existence whose boundaries are clearly defined in the Word of God. I think that's significant, too. The rest of it is just the uttermost parts of the earth, you know, kind of thing. But Israel's boundaries are clearly defined, and it's a very small parcel of land. It's approximately 8,019 square miles, which is about the size of New Jersey, like, which would just be like, you know, 1/50th of the United States. Mm-hmm. So, and it's important to note that a Palestinian state has never been established.
That's right.
Ever in the history of the world. The word Palestine actually means land of Philistines, who were always an enemy of Israel. Mm-hmm. And it was, the name was created in the 5th century BC by a Greek historian, Herodotus, and he called the district of Syria Palestine for the first time. So he gave that label, but there's never been a recognized state of Palestine ever in the history of the world. So we are back to the question of why does this tiny parcel of land, why does it matter so much? And the reason it matters is because it belongs to the Jews, and they're God's chosen people according to Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so everything that God has done throughout history, I mean, from Abraham forward, has been unfolded. It's unfolded through the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. They've been at the core of everything. And there's more prophecy to be fulfilled, and Satan doesn't want that to happen. I mean, the hatred for the Jews, for Israel, is demonically inspired and demonically controlled. It is now and has always been Satan's attempt at stopping prophecy, mm-hmm. at stopping God. He still believes he can do that. Yeah. I have no idea why, but he does. Satan hates God and anything that brings glory to God, mm-hmm. so he really hates God's chosen people. So it's easy to think, well, the Jews don't even believe in Jesus the Messiah, so why does Satan care? But the
some
word,
some of them do.
Yeah, some of them do. Some of them do. But as a whole, mm-hmm. you know, the Jewish religion as a whole did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They've been blinded. Mm-hmm. They expected the Messiah to come as a king, not as a baby. But when he comes back, he will come as a king, mm-hmm. the one they've been looking for. So Paul tells us in Romans 11:26, he says, this hardness on the part of the insider Israel, the Jewish people, towards God is temporary, and its effect is to open things up to all the outsiders. Mm. Their blindness opens the gospel up to the rest of the world. Now think about that, because everything happened through the Jewish people. So the Israelites, everything was prophesied. The Messiah is going to come. All of this is going to happen through the Jewish people. The Jewish people you know, they had their one true God, and so they would have been holding on to that. It would have been, you know, you've got to be Jewish to be saved. You know, and I'm probably butchering the explanation, but you get my point, because that's what Paul is trying to say. Them not recognizing him as the Messiah allowed the rest of the world to actually receive him as Messiah and the gospel to be opened up. And Paul says himself that he is an apostle to the Gentiles, that his mission is to preach the good news to the Gentiles, and Paul's a Jew. But he understands all this, that the blindness of the Jews is temporary. It opens the door to salvation for the Gentiles. That's us, mm-hmm. all of us who are not Jews. So that means now that all non-Jews can be saved if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if the Jews would have accepted Jesus as Messiah from the beginning, he would have been just for the Jews. But God gave his Son for everyone, not just the Jews, everyone. And Jesus was a Jew. He came from the tribe of Judah. He reached out from the cross to offer salvation to anyone who would accept him as Lord. And because of that open door, now we are grafted into the promise. And so the promise of Abraham is now a reality for us, mm-hmm. too. Like, we're adopted in. The word actually uses that word, adopted. We're part of the family. So let that sink in, because we're part of the family. God promised in Genesis 12 that he will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. So whatever you do to Israel is going to come back around to you, good or bad. And that promise is for all who believe. And we believe. We're grafted into that family. So here's the thing. It's like you have this little brother, maybe, who's handicapped. Now, you're going to be protective mm-hmm. of that little brother. That's kind of how it is, and I hope I'm not oversimplifying this or offending anyone, but that's kind of how it is with our Jewish brothers and sisters who are blinded. It's like, you know, they have a heart after God for the most part. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. there's people who reject God in right. all races, but as a whole, they have a heart after God. They just can't see the full picture. And it's like, we can see that full picture. We need to be protective of our little handicapped brother. Mm. Yes, 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 because God allowed that, their hearts to be hardened for us, for our benefit. And it's temporary. We know that the word says that they will be saved. So it's temporary. And here's the thing. Jewish people do not need Christians to explain their existence. But Christians cannot explain their existence mm-hmm. without the Jewish people.
That's true.
If they didn't exist, we wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. That's why Israel matters. They're literally our family. Mm-hmm. They're that little blind sibling that we need to be protective of. And we know their eyes will be open one day. And until that happens, we're to pray for peace in mm-hmm. Jerusalem. We are to pray for peace in Israel. We are to pray for peace and protection for God's people all around the world. It's like, don't mess with my family. That's our family,
yes,
over there. Mm-hmm. And they covet our prayers. They need our support. And God sees our hearts, whether or not we are complacent about Israel. And if we are complacent, then I would challenge you to stir that up. You know, ask God to give you a revelation of what's happening over there. Because here's the thing. If those atrocities happen to your child, would you not covet every single prayer, every single word of encouragement that you could possibly get from anybody in the whole world, whether you knew them or not? It would mean something to you. And so this is so much more than that, because they are our family, and we need to be protective of our family. Mm-hmm. So that's why Israel matters. Without them, we don't exist. Any questions?
We finished it up early.
We did finish a little early today. I was worried that it would take too long when I was writing stuff down this morning. I was trying to skip over some things and, you know, stay on point, but it's hard not to go down those rabbit trails because there's so much power in every story. There's so much power in, you know, the story of Abraham and Sarah, the story of Isaac and Rebekah, the stories of Jacob and Rachel, and just how God made all of those details come to pass and brought it all together. But the bottom line is, all of it brings us up to today, to where we live right now and the future that we can see through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool. It's really cool.
I think it kind of illustrates our actions still have consequences too.
Mm. Yeah.
Even though he had favor with God, they made some bad choices.
That's very
and
true.
And we're seeing the consequences.
That's very true.
Some people like to discount the word and act like there's things in the Old Testament that God was okay with. He wasn't necessarily okay with the things that they did then either. They still made mistakes, but he still used them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank heaven he did. You know, it gives me hope.
Yes.
That on my worst day, that I'm still of value to God.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't discount me. He doesn't write me off. Whether I'm right or wrong today, he still loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I love how, you know, it just really, I don't know, it just makes my heart swell whenever I think of Abram and Sarai. And then it was like tapping the foot and thumping the clock, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And, you know, oh, I don't know, Lord, I'm 99, and, you know, the old girl here, she kind of raisined. She's plus raisin. She's like dried up. So, TikTok. And then for Sarah to come up with a plan,
mm-hmm.
to hurry things along.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in Sarah's defense, it was 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14 days. It was 14
right.
years.
But I love how...
That is a long time.
I love how God, you know, even though it didn't happen when they thought it would happen, and they got, oh, Lord, I got tired of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times do we get tired of waiting?
Mm-hmm.
And come up with our own plan,
mm-hmm.
of how, okay, well, I'm just going to help you out, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I got a plan here.
Yeah.
And I love how the Lord didn't take his promise back.
Yes. Yes.
His promise still stood.
Mm-hmm. And still stands.
And still does.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't say, well, you messed that up. Give me that back. That's
yeah.
no longer yours. When God gives a promise, it doesn't expire.
That's right.
There's no, unlike food. You know, in some things, mm-hmm. there's an expiration date. Mm-hmm. Have you ever caught yourself going through the refrigerator and, oh, that's out of date.
Yeah.
And toss it, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God.
Well, he calls it a covenant. Mm-hmm. And remember, a few months ago, we talked about what a covenant is and that a covenant is timeless. There is no ending on a covenant and there is no exit clause on a covenant. And every promise God makes in the Word, he calls a covenant.
And you know, something else that popped up to me while you were reading, and it never really stood out to me before until today, and I'm going to have to go back and ask God to bloom it like a flower so I can smell the fragrance, you know?
Yeah.
That... Hagar was an Egyptian slave to them. And then they themselves became slaves in Egypt. And God had to get them out of there. Sent Moses to get them out of there. For some reason, that popped out to me today, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Let me see. Oh, yeah, because Genesis, and then the next book is, ooh, Exodus. Lord, what you want to show me there? That's never popped out to me before. So now I have some excitement, some fanning going on, you know, I want to know, because that's never stood out to me before until today, that Hagar was an Egyptian who was their maid, slave. How the tables turned in the very next chapter, the next book.
Well, and you know, God told Abraham that his descendants would be slaves for 400 years, but not until after he died, that everything would be good while he was alive.
How amazing is it that God saved them personally from that, even though they, you know, they believed his words, but got a little impatient. I just think that's so cool.
It is cool.
That never stood out to me.
I'll tell you something I think is really cool in that story and in the Old Testament is how God changed their names. Because it's kind of a foreshadowing of after we're saved and we become a new person, you know, and that was happening in the Old Testament when people would be saved through faith, you know, and follow God, and then God would change their name, changing their destiny, just as he does when we come to the cross now. I think that's really cool.
New creature, new name.
And a new destiny.
Wow.
Cool.
Satan has his plans, y'all. But God has plans and purpose.
That's a good word. Good word. I love that.
This has been really exciting. Makes me want to go jump back in at Genesis and Exodus again, just like Monica.
Oh, good. I hesitate to like say we're going to do a history lesson because a lot of people are like, oh, history. But I'm really fascinated with history. I've always loved that. And so I just... I just really get into it. But it's like that because you discover all these new little tidbits and how it all links together, and then it gets you so excited because we're still living the story. You know, it's cool.
And it's all connected.
Yes.
That's what I keep hearing in my spirit.
It is.
It's all connected.
It's
like a big connect the dots, y'all. And we're just connecting the dots for the big picture.
Yeah.
we appreciate you coming and sharing with us. You always bring interesting facts from the Word. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our sister in Christ, Renee Kilhofer, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
Today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.